Permission to Obey. This is Joseph Tan here from GoodMonday.com. I recently overheard one parent telling his young child very firmly, "I need you to obey me. Now, will you please obey?" This is a contradiction in terms. In fact, it's like the traffic policeman coming up to me saying, "I need you to obey the speed limit. Now, will you please obey?" By asking for my permission, he has just diluted his authority to enforce the rule. Clearly, much of the parenting stress we observe today stems from the fact that we, as parents, have not taken up our God-given authority to lead, especially in the child's first 12 years. And we have somehow bought into this deception that the home must be governed in a democratic manner where the child has the choice to obey. Every instruction must be supported by the results of a by-election where every vote is counted before the child decides whether the mandate is to be carried out or not. A child is free to disagree, but she is never free to disobey. Disobedience is never free. Every choice equals a corresponding consequence. In life, I can select my choice, but I can never select my consequences. For example, I can choose to eat candy floss every day, but I can never choose the consequences of my blood sugar level. So if we let our child get away with disobedience, we are actually mistraining them. That is, we are not equipping them for what happens in the real world. The reality, folks, is that in the world out there, every breaking of expected rules will bring on a corresponding consequence. It's called the law of the harvest. You reap what you sow. Here are three needful steps for you to take in order to claim your place of leadership at home. Step 1. Tell, not sell. When you want your child to do something like picking up the toys, just tell it plainly as it is with a firm, clear and no-nonsense tone. You do not have to sell the idea or bribe with promises of ice cream galore and then end your political speech by saying, "Okay, is that all right with you?" Do not waste your breath in cajoling the child with 100 words when just 5 would do. Pick up your toys now. Do not ask for permission by using "okay." Just tell it as it is. Be a leader at home, not a politician. Step 2. Mean what you say. Every threat not acted upon dilutes your parental authority at home. Very soon, your child will figure out the routine. Mom threatens, raises her voice, repeats herself 5 times, and then just before the 5th time, the child better pull up the socks and begin to obey. By letting the volume of our voice rather than the execution of action takes its course, we are actually training the child in delayed obedience, which is hardly obedience at all. That is why I encourage parents to carefully think through your words before letting it out of your mouth. When you are not sure about consequences, well, take a break and come back to the child later when you have had the chance to deliberate and think carefully on the issue. And oh yes, please do all of the above in a calm and collected manner. The minute you blow your top, the credibility is down the drain. Step number 3. Unity is strength. A child is totally defenseless when confronted with parents who are in total agreement with each other. There is no recourse for appeal when he observes the unity in the marriage relationship. In other words, husbands and wives should never contradict each other when it comes to directing the child. That's why your parenting strength draws upon the foundation of a united marriage. Take time to discuss parenting policies and issues during your regular coffee time when the child are in bed and be ready for a united press conference the next morning. That's why it's important to let the child sleep early so that you can reclaim your marriage time. So, in conclusion, it's not about creating rules at home as much as it is about who rules at home. The family is meant to be ruled by 2 loving adults rather than a terrible toddler. Think about it. This is Joseph Tan here from GoodMonday.com.